large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody's yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Flint still don't got clean water. Hurricanes in the Caribbean, they still getting stronger. And while the dollars keep getting shorter and longer, I'm one that made me till spirit still tells black boys not to wander. And how many of them hear her? Does her voice get any clearer? How many Ava DuVernays does it take for them to draw nearer? How many twists and turns does it take to uncover the plot when the plot never seems to change and the twists and turns is all we got? When folks who would've killed Jesus run around here free. When the he's at a wit's end still casting stones on you and me. Confining us to the cobalt and electric vehicles and iPhones. But if slavery was a choice, then tell me, who chose the Congo? Same folks, I guess, licensing state-sanctioned murder. So I take it all to the father, cause I can't take it no further. And that's upsetting me and my homegirls, cause we really wanna know. If we can't go to Bella Noche's, then where the hell can we go? And that's a fair assessment. I know a fair see when I see one. So why would I know a change is gonna come?
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, January 14th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Change is going to come. This is a new year, and every so often, you need to do an assessment. The other day, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas announced that he is going to address the nation. He's going to do an assessment of all the accomplishments that his government has done. So I'm going to go over that assessment, and I want to know what you think about it, right? There's a number of political personnel who are out there expressing commentary on what they expected the Prime Minister to address the nation on. Were they disappointed? Were they happy? Were they content? Or they wanted more? I'm going to have the Prime Minister's address juxtaposed to an IMF report that came out in December 2025. Let me read the headlines and then you'll understand why I'm going to have a juxtapose. It says the IMF raises Bahamas' growth, calls for income tax to be 15% VAT. It's by Neil Hartnell, right? Tribune business editor. And said the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has further boosted the Bahamas' 2025 economic growth prospects to just shy of 3% while regurgitating its now annual call for the country to introduce a personal income tax and 15% VAT rate. We can stick a pin right there. Just want to read that. Because our Prime Minister lowered VAT. Despite the IMF saying, man, we, the Bahamas, need to institute an income tax and increase the VAT rate. So we're not making enough money, right? And I said that to say, was this decision to lower the VAT rate something that was analyzed and then concluded by the whole, or it was a decision made by himself for political expedience, right? Well, do I need to worry about whether there's going to be a shortfall in teachers, shortfall in education, shortfall in medical, shortfall in investments in the economy by this reduction of the VAT rate? Should I care? Does the Prime Minister owe us, the Bahamian people, a duty of care to explain that with the shortfalls, with the lowering of the VAT, right, these are the things that will be shortfall? Or should we just go by and say, man, I'm just glad there's a cost of living adjustment and whatever else fall out, I don't really need to hear about it. Should we ask? Are we owed an explanation and say, well, I understand there's a need to adjust the cost of living, right? We can appreciate that. But this can be the fallout. Or there will be silence. In the address, the Prime Minister say on April 1st, there's going to be an adjustment on the cost of living. He mentioned some successes of what the Progressive Liberal Party government has done. He said there is going to be some energy reform. There has been energy reform. There's some economic incentives that he's doing. They're seeking and have sought new trackers to lower the price of goods, right? There is investment in agriculture sector in general, right? He mentioned the hydroponics, all right? Some more grants to people who do in farming. So those persons who needed access to property and ownership, you see there's a significant investment in that. Those persons who own duplexes and triplexes and have people living, the owners of them living in there, there's an increase of exemption. For persons, first-time purchases of homes, the concessions has been expanded, right? It's been infrastructure investment. 14 airports are being renovated, right, throughout the island, right? There's investments in new docks, new roads, right? Investments in clinics. He lists a number of things that his government is either working on, has been working on, or done, right, accomplished. And, of course, he mentioned the reduction of from 5% VAT, so a number of things that he lowered last April 1st, reduction of things from 5% VAT to zero VAT come April 1st. And I'm asking, will there be any fallout? Are we owed any explanation? Should we ask for an explanation on what will happen now to the Bahamas, to things that we plan? I know we're working on a national development plan. Does this development plan that we're working on, this is like the 14th or 15th one now we're working on, does it have anything to do with the amount of money that we make in, come in to the country? Who should be having this discussion? I see Gawain Bo is having this discussion, and he's apolitical in contrast to Michael Pintad, who's having a discussion. And also you're seeing that the Chamber of Commerce say we need to expand this VAT relief. And I want to understand what you mean expand. Is what VAT was implemented for? That's not a rhetorical question. It was a big conversation that we had some years ago, well, 15-odd years ago, right? What was the reason given, said to the Bahamian public, that we bought into it, that we're going to have this VAT tax? What is it going to do with the money? I remember hearing that some of these duties was going to be removed and VAT is going to replace them. But VAT was constituted for a particular reason. And I think we have forgotten what that reason is. I no longer remember what the VAT tax was for. And when it seems as if our leaders can wantonly just raise it and lower it and not considering the impact of raising and lowering it, it means perhaps we didn't really need it. Oh, we do need it, according to the IMF. We need it. In fact, we need to raise more money. They say put an income tax and keep the VAT tax and increase the VAT tax in just in order to make things meet. So I am concerned. I am concerned this should not happen. This is an open line Wednesday. That means you can call in. We can talk about a number of things today, a number of things that is trending, and I'll be happy to entertain and engage you as a number of things. But I wanted to bring that out. I wanted to speak on the Prime Minister's assessment of his government accomplishment, right? And like I said, he lists a slew of things. Some would say that even though it was addressed to the nation, the address seemed very political. It seemed like a campaign instead of an address of where the country is being moved from A to B to C. A number of people are making that criticism, right? Said, why did you waited until year five, to make this announcement? Why didn't you do it earlier? Right? Why did you do it in the campaign year? So should we look at this as a campaign ploy and not something genuine? And I can appreciate what people are saying about that. But the Prime Minister made his announcement. I needed some adjustment on the cost of living. I mean, things are too high, man. I'm not sure how single mothers are surviving in this Bahamas. I'm not sure people who are making minimum wage are surviving in this Bahamas. Things are too high. I'm not sure if these adjustments in VAT and the prices is sufficient in terms of my cost of living, in terms of the general cost of living and survivability of Bahamians. Like, how does this impact my rent? I guess I would have more money to rent if I had more money. But if people is making only $250, and even if they save some money by not paying some VAT, is it enough to pay your rent? Is it enough to pay your hospital bill because of how you eat? Right? It's a good gesture. I'm just sure if it is enough. Another topic I wanted to talk about is a shanty town. I want to say kudos to Minister Clay Sweeting. He went to his hometown, Spanish Wells. It was a falling out when he went to his hometown, Spanish Wells, in particular Russell Island. In Russell Island, there are about 5 to 6 different independent shanty towns, right? And people know the history of Spanish Wells. Spanish Wells is mostly white Bahamians live on this island, and they have a next door to it, a smaller island, Russell Island, which the children of the original inhabitants moved to because it has more space, right? Spanish Wells already marked out, and new development and growth is happening on Russell Island, and you can move there as a young Bahamian and build. And thrive. As they thrive, a number of migrant workers also immigrated to Russell Island, right? They are workers or the employees of a number of people who live on Spanish Wells proper and also who lives on Russell Island proper. They hired these migrants. These migrants actually have papers. These migrants have documents to reside in the Bahamas. So there's no issue about illegal migration there on Spanish Wells or Russell Island. These people are employed, right? Anyone know the history of Spanish Wells or that rumor that they used to get work permits in bulk and say, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. That's what they say, right? But this is where the falling out came about. There are shanty towns because the employer is supposed to find shelter, living quarters for their workers. And a number of them became slumlords. They allow their workers to build shanty towns. And the shanty towns having a negative impact on the island, negative impact on Spanish Wells proper. And the government has moved to address that issue because of a number of complaints from a number of residents. But recently, recently, we are now realizing that there are a number of white Bahamians, because I didn't know this was happening. I thought this was a black Bahamian issue. A number of white Bahamians are making it possible for shanty towns to exist in the Bahamas. We see on social media a recording by police officers and by residents, Spanish Wellians, Sicilians, right, who were vexed at the authorities for daring to come on their property to bulldoze their shanty town. They call the officers, the police officers, every name in the book besides the child of God. They said demeaning things. It's one particular family, right? I ain't gonna call their name because there's no need of calling their name. If you go on social media, you'll see the particular family. Their faces are now trending. I'm sure there's a big uproar in Spanish Wells as they brought disrepute to that island, right? Because of their utterance, their shameful utterance. They say some racial things also, right? It's very unfortunate. I'm going to read this also into the record. Let me get to my... about things you can say to the police, which is against law, right? It's a key summary of offenses. Abusing a public officer. Charge under the Police Force Act for verbal mistreatment during their duty. Using insulting language. Charge under Section 208 of the Penal Code for any abusive or profane speech in a public setting. Obstruction. While not really verbal abuse, if derogatory language is used to intentionally hinder an officer, officer's ability to perform their job, such as drowning out commands, it may be charged as obstruction of justice. That's three different charges. Abuse of a police officer, using insulting languages, and obstruction. Three different charges. And I'm reminding the couple, the family in Spanish Wells, that y'all supposed to be charged. There's a number of people who say, oh, freedom of speech, and you should say anything. But the type of words these people said to the police officers who were enforcing the law on Spanish Wells, the entire nation should be concerned. The island of Spanish Wells needs concern. I think the community of elders need to meet with these people to say, hey, I think you went too far. I understand you're frustrated. A number of people said, but that's their private property. You can't be building shanty towns. You can't be a slum lord. You can't have people renting from you and you don't have no bathroom facilities. No running water. No access to electricity. That's problematic. You're a slum lord. Charges should be brought up to you right there. But I think the police officer practices a lot of restraint, right? And some people said maybe because of Hugh that they practice restraint, because those people should deserve to be locked up. But it is what it is. Those people who are able to see the video should go and see the video and leave commentary. And hopefully in the future, there'll be some charges brought against those people. Right? Another conversation I wanted to have was majority rule. I was asked to give an interview the other day on majority rule. I don't think I did an adequate job. I mean, I still went and do it, right? The people invited me, and I said, I'll come. I'll give my commentary. It was going to be an educational type thing, interactive. I guess they wanted humor in it too, right? It was a young audience, young people who did not know about majority rule. And I'm finding that there's a number of young Bahamians who are not sure what the holiday is about. And when I say not sure, they completely do not understand what is all the hullabaloo about it. It's just a day to go be off and go on the beach. So my interaction was that to try to find out what is the disconnect. Why don't you know about this particular holiday, the significance of it? And I mentioned to this group of young people, the people recording me, that this is the most significant of holidays in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. And of course, this caught their attention because it can't be as great as independence. And I say it's greater than independence. They said it can't be as great as a National Heroes Day. I say it's greater than National Heroes Day. It's greater than any other holiday we have because It is a holiday. It is a holiday, and it's a commemoration of us, our growth and development, a movement, a journey of who we are as a people. This holiday does not belong to any political party. And just recently, we had some address by some religious leaders, and I'm going to bring that into the record also, that that the holiday is bigger than individual groups, right? That this holiday belongs to each and every Bahamian through its history and through what it's meant, right? For majority rule, it's marked as 59th year of celebration, majority rule, right? 59 years ago. We had a tie between the Progressive Liberal Party and United Bahamian Party, right? I think they got 18-18. And we had an independent candidate, Alvin Brennan. And this is why the holiday or the significance of it is also belong to independent, those persons who are independent-minded and not a part or affiliated with a political organization. An independent candidate lend their support to a political group. And so the independent candidates need to celebrate this. They need to herald Alvin Brennan. Hopefully the coalition of independent in the future will appreciate this knowledge and have a Alvin Brennan as their hero. Adopt him and say he represents independent thinking. We also had the Bahamas Labor Party, right? Headed Roland Fox. I always call him Fox for some reason. Fox, right? And union need to own this majority rule holiday and the significance of labor, the impact of labor to the holiday. So hopefully in the future, we'll see the unions are more active in terms of celebrating this holiday. It should be as significant as Labor Day, right? As labor put their shoulders to the wheel and said, this Bahamas that we live in will change. And labor is going to lend their support to make sure that the change will happen. Few people realize that Alvin Brennan was white. Or phenotypically white, was white. So this holiday belongs to white Bahamians. And in fact, a number of white Bahamians supported the Progressive Liberal Party then, right? The support is increasing again now. But they understand that the status quo of the Bay Street Boys, especially working class white Bahamians, said, we cannot continue with this. We will lend our support to the Progressive Liberal Party because the Bahamas need to change, because we need opportunity and fairness for all of us. Not all of us could get a Bay Street job. Not all of us are educated. And they lend their support to Progressive Liberal Party. So this particular significant holiday belongs to white Bahamians also. So hopefully we see them celebrating. And we hopefully they will lift up the legacy of Alvin Brennan and celebrate him, said he is our hero too. Because this holiday, he represents that this holiday belongs to them or to us, right? So we have Alvin Brennan, we have Randall Fox, we have the Progressive Liberal Party in general, we have the Independent, right? And like I said, I was invited, I'm not sure if I did a thorough job trying to explain the significance of this. During that 1967 election, we had all kind of young politicians. We don't have young politicians anymore. In fact, we tell young politicians to sit on the side. The average age in the House of Assembly might be 55, 60. And the average age of the politicians of yesteryear, 1967, was about 37. I don't know if I could picture a 37-year-old prime minister of the Commonwealth of Bahamas anymore. I would say, man, you're too young. You don't have the experience. But then we have the former Prime Minister, Linda Pin, was at that age. I think he was maybe even 33. You could correct me if I'm wrong. You could always text back and tell me the correct age of the former Prime Minister at that time, right? But we had a significant number of politicians or in the House of Assembly and Cabinet who were under the age of 40 participating. And again, we have a number of religious leaders over the holiday who reminded us about that. That majority rule is a movement that all Bahamians should celebrate and take part of. And that movement of journey also belongs to young people. Because yesteryears, young people led the Bahamas, and we now need people under 40 to participate and lead the Bahamas. They can't be in the back burner and said, let the 70-year-old be prime minister. They need a challenge. They need a challenge and be at the decision-making table. Right? During this majority rule holiday, of course, we know the PLP claim it as their own. Even though majority rule, they had a person from the Free National Movement join them. They purposely joined them because they were trying to make the effort to have the holiday not be PLP-centric, but bipartisan-centric by having both political parties involved. This majority rule, they returned to separate celebrations again. The Progressive Party had a function at their headquarters in Farrington Road. They had food there, right? People like food, but you know the Afghans couldn't attend that. But they also had a church service at Bahamas Harvest Church, right? Where the pastor, the head pastor there, would be the son of the late Edmund Moxie, who was one of those trailblazers for majority rule and who also became a free PLP, right? And he addressed the congregation, which made up of both Progressive Liberal Party, the Free National Movement, and the Coalition of Independence, and those politically minded people. And he addressed the persons present and remind them about the youth and their importance. The Anglican Bishop of the Turks Island and the Bahamas also was there. And he reminded them that they shouldn't be partisan on this particular holiday. This particular holiday belonged to all of we. So he spoke on that. And I'll go in detail about that because something happened. Something happened. And this, for the first time, we see that the FNM had their own celebration, separate and apart from the PLP celebration. And that was different. And I'm not sure if that's the way we're supposed to be going, but that was different. But let's go to this caller right now. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're talking about what's happening inside the news. How you doing, man?
Everything's good, man.
Good.
I heard you said that the majority rule was also for the white people.
It's for all Bahamians, right?
White people in the PLP. But let me let you know that there were three white men that started the PLP.
I'll pause you. I'll pause you and correct you and say they weren't white. They were Long Island Red. Henry Taylor, in his book, said he was a man of color.
Yeah.
So you could say they were light skin. You could say they were light skin, but they weren't white. They Long Island Red.
So do we have any white Bahamians?
Yes, we do.
Where are they?
I believe, and this is me, Mr. Brent Simonet would be considered a Conky Joe white Bahamian. Definitely he is.
Well, the same thing with Henry Taylor.
Henry Taylor had about 30% black inside him, where I would say a Brent Simonet would have about 10% black in him. That's
okay,
a difference in percentage.
We here, let's be real. We here will call William Cartwright.
That brown skin man?
Stevenson Henry Taylor, three white men.
No, they brown skin men. My
light,
sister.
Oh, light color man. Then.
Okay, because my sister brighter color. Than them. My sister and her complexion from a black woman was more phenotypically white or bright skin than them. The brown skin people.
Okay. We can argue that left and right.
Yes.
Half full if you look it up, half empty if you look.
Okay.
But what I meant to say, you said something about the FNM doing a service at the
gravesite
of Successor.
Yes.
That was being happening by Lady Penland, the chairman of the PIB, Mr. Mitchell, and a few people.
You saying that Lady Penland used to go to the gravesite of Cecil Wallace Whitfield?
No.
You just said that just now. Okay, I understand.
okay?
Okay.
All it shows is that the FNM is out of ideas. They're following. You remember the other day when they tried to repeat history by throwing the mace out of those assembly? That didn't happen. History only can happen once. You can never repeat history. History could... Right?
Go ahead.
Then you have this thing now, they're going now to successive grave sites saying they, for the first time, they're doing it. So it's only a following. They have no ideas of their own. They're taking a page out of the PLB book for every time.
You don't believe and they now, should visit Sir Cecil Grave at all?
Hello?
You don't believe they should visit Sir Cecil Grave at all?
Whatever they want to do, they can do.
Okay.
That's they to do. But I'm saying, why now? Why not last year? Why not year before last? Why not 5 years ago?
Is this something to celebrate that the FNM has now embraced the majority rule holiday? Before,
if they
never celebrated
the majority rule holiday. They should have been at the Harvest Church on Monday with the country.
They were there. They just didn't go to the PLP party afterwards.
No, they were at the church.
So but
let them show you a picture and then I'll come back and apologize. Okay. I don't think they were there.
No problem. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about the Prime Minister's speech.
Yes.
On Monday night. I told somebody it was like when you go to a church service, the man preach. What for you, you take and go with that and leave. The whole sermon ain't going to ever be for you. Now, what was in it for me was the lower of what the 5% off for the food store. Now, what for somebody else might have been the person who have the triplex, the person who have the duplex, the person who doing the orange economy. So everybody had something for everybody. I am a PLP supporter, but I wish he had said a little more about the medication, the VAR on medication.
Yes.
Okay? Now, another problem I have too, and I said it on another radio station, I'm going to say it on your station because I know a lot of people listen to your show. This National Health Insurance Card, I don't understand it because I'm a diabetic. I'm a part of the plan. But the most expensive insulin, I've had my card now for over a year. In a couple of months, I go to one particular place. I won't call the name. But they never have the insulin for the card. But they have the insulin to sell.
Listening.
I never got the insulin on the card from the card. They sell at the buy that.
Okay.
So I need to find out now what Ms. Green tried to explain to me that the government allowed them to bring so much in duty-free so they'd be able to give it out on the plant. But they need to bring in some more because the insulin is a very important medication. So I don't know why they have the cheaper one. I could always get that one. And the one that I need the most, that's the one what I have to pay for.
We need a lobby for this, and I agree, and insulin is important, and we need more behemoths to remind the member of parliament to bring it up and lobby and agitate, and then we'll have that be addressed. But I appreciate you reminding me about it. Let's go to the caller again there, Kermit. Guy in Radio AM, go ahead.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Happy majority rule to behemoths everywhere. Michael Pintad, listen, Free National Movement has been consistently over the last 4.5 years, and again, even before, we participated, since I've certainly been in Parliament, in majority rule, and we again embrace it as a celebration for all Bahamians, white, black, PLPs, FNMs, other political parties, persons who are unattached. It was a momentous move for all Bahamians. So this nonsense about FNMs not embracing it, again, we should lay that to rest. The reality is that a number of those persons who participated in helping to usher in majority rule later had some differences, and the Free National Movement was formed by a number of them, and some left later and joined the party. That's a separate issue. And so one of the things we say in our DNA is the very same spirit that ushered in majority rule is in our organization. But we are not the only organization that have that spirit. So does the Progressive Liberal Party that was the party that led the charge at that time. And so, again, to borrow something from Leish Boyd, you know, as we celebrate the spirit of majority rule, we should erase historical biases, but let's not introduce new biases.
Mm.
And so I just wanted to make that point to you. And with respect to the celebration of our founding father, the question was asked, why now? I asked, why not now?
Mm.
That the families of all of those whose names are often not mentioned when we're talking about majority rule, for their families to come together and symbolically join the Wallace Whitfield family in laying a wreath at Sir Cecil's grave. What is the problem with that? Can we not celebrate outstanding Bahamians from all political organizations and those that are unattached?
Mr. Pinder, the PLP seemingly claim majority rule as their holiday. And there's a term called Free PLP, which a number of young people are not familiar with. Can you give a narrative of what does it mean by being Free PLP versus PLP?
Listen, the bottom line is there was a political party that led the charge at that time. This is now a national hall for all Bahamians. So to dwell on the sort of the PLP or FNM is not the point. I mean, the point is, white Bahamians, again, their history ought to fully reflect the transition that took place, as the black Bahamians.
Yes.
And so we now need to, again, continue to work on us as Bahamians, regardless of ethnicity, gender, age, all of us need to work in tandem to finish the work that majority rule started. And I thought Mario Moxie did a remarkable job in terms of the message he delivered at the service, which we were at. Again, it's not our fault if some media houses, cameras seem not to have picked it up, but that's, we're not there for the cameras.
Mm.
We're there to celebrate with other Bahamians. And so, and I thought the purpose laid out by Leish Boyd was quite remarkable. So again, this is a moment for us to look at one of the milestones in our history, embrace that, look at some of the other milestones we need to set, like the empowerment of Bahamians over the hill in many communities that still, that's still waiting for full emancipation. That's the unfinished work, and that's the work alongside with every other Bahamian that we should dedicate ourselves to.
And I thank you for the movement of embracing the majority rule. And you said the last 4 years, you see you've been working towards it. Before you go, can you give a commentary on what you thought about the Prime Minister's national address?
I mean, again, I said in Parliament yesterday that if you were to put that speech in the hands of the former Prime Minister, a significant amount of that would have been the same recitation that, that we've been committed to training a new generation of Bahamians so that they could be artists and artisans and embrace a number of vocational areas. Again, the work that has been done in the country in terms of infrastructurally, as we just, again, every administration has again focused on some of the same issues. I thought this close to an election, the Prime Minister would have been talking about the transformative programs that his administration has engaged in, and those that he intends to again engage in. Instead, it was a presentation that largely focused on, one, again, the reduction of VAT, and on some of the very same items that the Prime Minister himself had put VAT on. You don't get to celebrate you removing VAT of some of the same items that you've actually put it on yourself. Is it a step in the right direction to going to zero on the items we have been recommending, the breadbasket items, feminine hygiene products, baby products, again, medicine, et cetera, that is a move in the right direction. But the job, in our view, is not yet complete. So we celebrate any move that would alleviate the stress on Bahamians. But we thought the Prime Minister overstated the case. And he, again, omitted to address some of the critical things that are relevant to the Bahamas. In Grand Bahama, for example, we are still concerned about the fact that the airport has not made progress, notwithstanding multiple predictions that phase one would be completed in 2025, phase two by now would have been completed. We still did not get any clarification on the $120 million the Deputy Prime Minister, aided and abetted by the Prime Minister, who never refuted it, that $120 million is in the bank, which we now believe to be untrue, given the fact that they are unable to pay workers on a consistent basis and have reduced their work week. So I thought the presentation was more of the same. It was priming the pump, as some have said, for election, where the Prime Minister litigated the same old issues. For example, he argued that when he came to power, the country was on the edge of a fiscal cliff. It's an absolute lie. I mean, the reality is our economy was by and large closed at the time the PLP came to power and was reopening. It had not yet in its entirety reopened. And so we're happy that the emergency orders was lifted. But he cannot deny that there was economic activity gradually, again, returning to the economy. And I say that is because the IMF and our own statistics indicate that the economy in November of 2021 was at a 14.2% level, and it has steadily declined since that time, meaning that we are returning to pre-pandemic economic growth rates. So much so that the Prime Minister himself has predicted next year the economy will only be growing at 1.7. So it isn't necessary for the Prime Minister to overstate the role the PLP played in terms of the economy rebounding. It's the natural order of things when you come out of where a country has been locked down and it's gradually and then completely reopened. You will have the demand that had been pent up among tourists, that demand would be satisfied and you'd see economic growth. Unfortunately, what the government has not figured out is how do we help this economy that's on the doorstep of the most powerful country in the world to grow at 3, 4, or 5%. And so again, I had concerns that I thought he missed an important moment to cast a vision on where the country is going to go in the future. And he misrepresented a significant amount of what has brought us to this point.
I appreciate you calling in. This is Michael Pintar, leader of His Majesty's Loyal Opposition. I would like to have a show in the future, perhaps, about the future of the Bahamas.
I'd be more than happy. And you know, and unlike the chairman of the BLP, I answer questions. I don't have a problem.
You seem not afraid to answer nothing.
Message from you,
yes,
or from the general public. Yes. I mean, you know, after all, we work for you.
I appreciate it, and I'll reach out.
My pleasure, my brother.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Again, that was Michael Pintard, leader of His Majesty's Loyal Opposition. We're going to take a quick break. I see the phone lines are lit. I have one or two text messages. You can call in and do give commentary on what you think Mr. Pintard said, right? We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I see the phone lines are lit. Let's see if we can go to this caller right now as we wind down the last minutes of the show. Go ahead, caller. Are you there?
Yes. Hey, how you doing, Louis? C. Allen Johnson. How you doing?
Go ahead, C. Allen.
Some quick points. You know, we often talk about majority rule, right? And I know the Progressive Liberal Party likes to lay claim to it, even though it was the independents that brought about majority rule. And we historically be correct, it was not on January 10th that the actual decision was made. But when they talk about the Free National Movement, right, and just let me say, right, that my name is Alan Cornelius Johnson. My father's name is Alan Christopher Johnson. My grandmother is Lois Knowles Johnson from Long Island. Grandfather's Claudius Johnson from the Berry Islands. I also have dual side of Killarley roots, Hepburn and Bristol. But the point I make was that my father was contemporaries in the same age group. In fact, he was and Catherine, the youngest of them, about 20 years, if I remember, and all of them. My father was with those age. I was born to my father in his senior years. But the point I make is that you know, I know the PLP, they claim to them, and even I can give you the history of the PLP being before, even so the independent came home. But he was their friend. He was also friends with Wallace Groves from the Berry Islands, because that's also where he was born and grew up partly also. But the point is that when you look at the FNM, the FNM founders, right? Stella Wallace Whitfield, other folks, James, Jimmy Shepherd, Warren Lavarity, Maurice Moore, Curtis McMillan, Elbert Donison, George Thompson. Every single one of them was part of the Progressive Liberal Party. There was no FNM when the supposedly majority rule day came about. So their ownership of that day is just as valid as the Lyndon Pinland's or the claim that the PLP is making today. And so when we begin to have this revisionist historical narrative, is what breaks down the cohesiveness that we're supposed to try to achieve in going in the election. But just, I know you ran out of time. Let me ask you this question, though. Nuri, do you believe that Philip Braddock Davis knows how to grow the economy?
I hope so.
Why hasn't he?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you believe he knows how to bring transformative housing programs in place?
I hope so.
Why hasn't he? Do you believe he knows how to bring about change, meaningful change, to curtail our immigration policy and bring back order? Why hasn't he?
The Progressive Liberal Party would say that they're doing those things.
What I'm saying to you is I say to you, the Progressive Liberal Party don't. Now, I have to accept that they don't, because do you know the anger that will build up in me if they knew what to do and have deliberately oppressed us for four plus years? I'm going to lean on the side of incompetence, incapability, and inability. And so my question then, to Mr. Davis, he wants to run to election. You have a contract. If you look at the blueprint for change and every speech made, from the speech to the truant to now, over 1,000 promises was probably made. The question is, how many of them has been fulfilled? And see, they depend on us to forget and bombard us in our crisis of trying to survive, mm-hmm. of growth, the necessary growth in the economy. They have not been able to achieve it. And it's not an argument of youth, right? Because I would tell you, at 63, bring all of your young bohemians, and let's talk about tomorrow and the future and see if they can compete. It's about competence. It's not about youth. Our youths have not been prepared to lead our country. So this is why we need a leadership now, like Michael Pintard, to prepare the next generation of leaders, because we are about to move off the scene and we have not done an adequate job in preparing them. Look at the Prime Minister. He brought back his senior crew to advise him. $65 million a year, $50 million in salary additionally, and what are we getting for it? Nothing. So we need leadership that can look forward. January 1st,
the 25 years. You're spreading it thick now. You start campaigning.
No, I'm just simply saying it. You know, but I'm saying it's something you can't dispute. The PLP if they had a vision for going forward into their second term, they would have brought it by now. Well, the Prime Minister even forgot Grand Bahama existed until somebody reminded him, and then he come back with some garbage speech to say, oh yeah, I'll talk about it later.
That's important.
Maybe he's getting too old and he's forgetting he's governing the Bahamas rather than looking back to the
look
past.
Look where you turn, you're showing shade about our Prime Minister, and he will address the nation about Grand Bahama, and then you will call, and then we do an assessment on whatever he said makes sense. This text says, Mr. Nuri, do you know that Sir Cecil was one of the first proponents of independence? He, Honorable Carlton Francis, the Honorable, His Excellency, A.D. Hanna, before Sir Lyndon, the historical facts are there. Why not celebrate Sir Cecil, one of the greatest behemoths of all times? And I'm just happy that the FNM has embraced majority rule. I'm hoping that more of the persons impacted by majority rule embrace it and celebrate it. So this is a new growth, new development. Like I said, there's a number of angst of the PLP claiming the holiday as their own. And now we're seeing that more Bahamians are claiming it. They're bringing out their heroes and celebrating that they were a part of it. And there's something that needs to be commended. Let's go to this caller before we time to go. Go ahead, caller. Guy and Reader AM.
Yes, sir. You know, your last caller, you know, he support techno feudalism, you see, that AI foolishness, that you know what I mean? That's capitalism on steroids, you know? But you know, as pertains to the majority rule. We have it on paper, but we don't practice it. You know, because we have islands with 2,000 voters, with the constituency with 2,000 voters, and we say that's the reason for that is because they need representation. But all the large lawyers in the Bahamas, the people that own off and Nassau, they do the same. They own the same thing on them family islands. All they got is support. I mean, our voice. Come on. Everything developed on the family islands is supported by the taxpayers in Nassau. You know what I mean? And this, this VAT thing. We need to get the income tax, man. You got callers who to say they make plenty of money. And I ain't see no caller advocate for income tax or tax that rich people pay to make this money. You understand me? You know, corporate tax ain't corporate tax and the like. They ain't advocating for that. They got poor people paying national insurance. That don't happen in investments in UK. Mm. Poor people who pay national insurance and taxes, income tax. Come on, man. You got to get this thing right. And just stop playing this red and yellow thing. That's what's killing us. These are what you call it, our generals, red and yellow generals, gentlemen, and get the Florida State like it's their own. Come on, Florida State need to do their job, man. Thank you.
Thank you. I always appreciate how passionate you are, and you continuously call and agitate for change and accountability. This text says, CA, it's not fair that Sea Island can come on the radio every single day promoting his party when we cannot say anything about the COI. I've invited the chairman of the COI to come on the show. I give her a whole full hour. She ain't come. I inbox other people to say, hey, send the chairman of the COI to come talk to me. And I wasn't going to even ask no hard questions. I just want to know the history of the party, the objective of the party, and membership. Why do they have any young groups or whatever it is? Just outlining what the party is. Nothing political at all, but the invitation's still there. She can still reach out. We cannot say anything about the COI because the PLP, FNM, UBP, okay, it could disappear, have had 52 years to make a difference, but so far all they did was spouting their pockets. By the way, majority rule means if we are outnumbered by Haitians, they will rule. I don't think that's majority rule, but go ahead. Lincoln Bean is the only true Bahamian running. Remember being locked down and vaccinated like a herd of sheep. How many are dead? I guess this text has gone from A to Q. I mean, completely off. My Lord. It's 11:59. But like I said, the COI, Charlotte Green, chairman, tell her come. Tell her reach out, and then we'll just talk about the party. No politics. We ain't going to talk about the FNM and the PLP and what she think about them. Let's talk about the COI and the way forward and the message of the COI. I'm prepared to make space. I'm prepared to make space. Right? This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.